Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Monday, January 28th of 2019. An extremely snowy Monday at that. We are under, those of us in the zone from Midland County down to Genesee County, where Flint is, are under a winter storm warning until 8 p.m. Once again, that is a winter storm warning in effect until 8 p.m. Storm total accumulations in the 6 to 8 inch range in general. So that's Midland Bay, Saginaw, some of the counties into the Thumb, Shiawassee, Pierre, and Genesee counties. For places to the west, it's in effect. Winter storm warning is in effect until midnight. To some of the counties to the north of this, though, it is in effect until 4 a.m. And that last check, the last time I looked at it, was at like 3:30 or so, and it came on and said an additional 3 to 6 inches. In addition to whatever they had on the ground at the time. So, but guess what? Even though a lot of things may have closed, guess what's still running? The show. Because, after all, in the radio business, as they say, the show must go on. Because, you know, like this morning, WRSGW, which is a station I really like, 100.5 FM. Their morning crew was there, and they were, you know, reading some of the closings and that. So the schools, that he just said go to the website, because every school in this area was closed. It looks like, for the most part, it will probably be that way tomorrow as well. Albeit, since it won't be snowing tomorrow, you probably won't have as many organizations closing. For example, one thing I can think of is I can guarantee the mall won't close. A bunch of these other places that close today that are not schools, they either won't close tomorrow or they'll just delay opening, don't you think? But one more. For folks down to the south, you are down like in the counties of Oakland, Livingston, Macomb, Wayne, Washtenaw, Monroe counties, Lenawee County, Hillsdale County. For those of you down that way, there's a winter weather advisory that's in effect until 8 o'clock. For you, totals are to be between grand total of 3 and 6 inches, 3 to 4 Ohio state line up to I-94, 4 to 6 from I-94 up to I-69. So for those of you in that area, like in the Detroit area, your advisories will be ending when we close the show at 8 o'clock. Out west, though, like I said before, you're not done yet. You're getting more snow, same west to the north. But for us here, we're done. The snow ended. I got here to McDonald's safely, and it was as bad as it's going to get. And from here, it's only going to get better. However, wind chills coming in a couple days. Wind chills could drop as low as 32 degrees below zero. Parents, you're going to want to be on the lookout for possible closures on Wednesday due to very cold wind chills. I suspect that most of those districts, I don't know, do you suspect that because of those wind chills that most of these districts will also close Wednesday, Cassidy?
Probably.
Yep, so if you're a parent of children, I would plan on, I would say the vast majority, Cassidy, does it look like pretty much just as many school districts as closed today are already closed for tomorrow? Does it show that Flint and Saginaw have also closed?
I don't know.
Just curious. But
will it be on the news page?
School closings page.
Okay.
But I will only say for now though, folks, Midland is closed, as is Bay City, Mount Pleasant, along with everything in the respective counties. Clare is closed. But for the purposes of keeping it short, I'll only mention the really big ones. I have every reason to believe that Saginaw will close if it hasn't already. There have been a small districts in Genesee County that have indicated that they will be closed tomorrow as well. So just keeping you up to date as to what's going on. As for in one way, yes, it's Michigan. You know, that there should be no surprise. It is a rather big event, but at the same time, you know, safety is very important. That's why these districts are closing. And part of why you had all those organizational closures and mall closures was because of, was your understanding that it was due to drifting concerns that closed those down over 6 to 8 inches?
Yes.
Is that there was significant drifting concern that's why those all closed?
Saginaw Public is closed tomorrow.
What about Flint?
And
that'd be back to F.
Flint Community Schools.
They are on the list?
Closed and their building open until further notice. It just says closed. It doesn't say closed Tuesday like all the rest of them do.
I'm going to assume that is for Tuesday as well. Folks, bottom line, for those in high school, elementary to high school, you're not having school tomorrow. You're not going to school tomorrow. You're in this area. College check for opening time. I'm assuming some of them will just be delayed, if at all. Don't you think? So just some of them might just be delayed. Other than schools, most other many places will reopen tomorrow. But for the rest of this week, you'll want to make sure that when you're leaving that you always put on hat, gloves, scarf. And, of course, don't forget your winter jacket because we are expecting brutal wind chills. So, bottom line, stay safe, stay warm. All right. We've got that out of the way. So now, folks, I want to thank you so much for joining the show. And I want to thank you, listeners, those of you who choose to always make this part of your routine. I love doing this. I really do. So, as far as monologue goes, which is where I kind of talk about some stuff that kind of interests to me and what I've been up to, is those childhood / college student snow days. You know, what did I like about them? Was there anything about them I didn't like? What were some fun, you know, what were some very fond memories that you may have had on some of those notes? So, at first, in elementary school, for the most part, maybe you were the same, Cassidy, maybe not. In elementary school, for the most part, at first, I was just okay with snow days, mainly. Is that kind of how you were?
I don't know. That was a really long time ago.
But then...
I like snow days because I like to go play out in the snow and build igloos.
And from... Yeah, for me in elementary school, I was kind of, you know, I was okay with them. And then for some reason in fifth grade, I almost didn't want them. But then come sixth grade, then on, I got so excited whenever we would get one, and here's why. Midland Public used to be very terrible at calling snow days.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible. From about 2002, even before that, until 2010, it was very hard to get a snow day in Midland Public Schools. And there'd be times that other school districts would close, but not Midland. But generally on those days, I would still go because I figured it doesn't show that Midland's closed. They're not closed, so I'm getting up for school, getting ready to go. They didn't close, so I figure, you know, I'm not sick or whatever, so I'm just going to go. But come middle school, I really look forward to them. You know, in high school, it was awesome. A couple of times, I got snowed out of exams. I got snowed out of a certain day's exam, and one of them it was a total blessing because it was an exam that one of them was an exam that I wasn't exactly ready for. But one of them we were gonna get to make some great food in that, so I almost didn't want that snow day. But at the same time, it was a blessing because, you know, I still got the day off of school, and it was nice, and I was kind of tired, so it was kind of a relief that night before, you know. So it was, especially since I lived in Sanford and went to Midland Public Schools in Heights during most of my high school career, it meant I had to get up super early. So anytime when I lived in Sanford, that Midland got a snow day, it was a huge blessing. And some of my favorite memories are as far as the snowmen and that kind of stuff, not so much, but there was one of the coolest thing, I think. It was pretty cool. One time, the day that my mom and dad had their one day wedding anniversary banquet, I mean their 1 year wedding anniversary banquet at the old Midland Holiday Inn. It's very sad what's happened to that property, by the way. If you can go online, folks, and find that old pictures of that old Holiday Inn, trust me, that with that layout and that old playland and stuff and the way that pool was, that is still one of my dream hotels. I wish more hotels would be like that today. I do. Because there's something to be said. There's something to be said about hotels like that. Even to me now, if I was Like if I went to a hotel out of town or, you know, out of state somewhere, if I was at one of those hotels that had a big pool and there was like a lot of kids in it, it would remind me of how that old Holiday Inn was. I never got to stay in that old Holiday Inn, but whenever I was there for a birthday party, especially when I was like 8, 9, 10, to me it was like a paradise. To you, did that place seem like a paradise, Cassidy?
Yes.
Was there something about that, even that Playland, did it feel like your own little paradise?
Yeah.
Were there days that you wish that you could just go there to play and swim and not have to get a room or anything?
We did do that.
How did they let you guys do that?
Because my mom worked there for a little bit, so they let us in.
Unfortunately, my mom didn't work there. Otherwise, I would have tried to do it every weekend. I bet I would have to go. You know, at that age, just go play in the play place, go in the pool, especially on the winter ones, because those ones were more busy.
Yeah.
Did she work through a Christmas?
I don't think so.
How do you bet Christmas Day was in there? Do you bet that was super fun, or do you bet it was kind of more of a lull?
It was probably more of a lull.
How do you bet like Saturday the 28th would have been? Do you bet that would have been like my heaven all day long?
Yeah.
You bet it would have been just like because it was another one of my favorite hotels that was not a water park hotel was. A hotel that I only got to stay in once. It's now a La Quinta Inn. It used to be called Woodfield Suites in Cincinnati, Ohio. It had a huge indoor pool and some other great things in it. And, but back to the snow days. But that was cool that I got to have this, that I ended up having a snow day on what turned out to be the day of the anniversary banquet. So that was pretty cool nonetheless. Other things I've gotten to do, another cool thing I've had once was in elementary school one time, we had our break extended by a day at the end of it because of a big snowstorm that had happened a day prior. So that was cool to get an extra day of winter break because I don't know why, even though I was only 9 at the time, that Sunday night, I was not feeling ready to go back to school Monday. So I was excited when that Monday came. My memories of these snow days were different than many kids' snow days, but hey, guess what? Different isn't always a bad thing. It's not at all. But so anyhow, you know, the point is, kids, I mean, to these parents, kids, if you're going to play in the snow at all, if I were you, I would do it tomorrow, like in the afternoon maybe. Not Wednesday. You won't want to go outside Wednesday, kids, because if you don't have school, because that wind chill will be so low. Now, folks, but it was still pretty cool, and it was always – and so bottom line, kids, is cherish those snow days. Cherish them. Use them to make memories. Cause something you'll be able to tell your kids and grandkids about. So, now, about the plans for tonight, folks. The plan is this. We're going to pray as we always do. Then we're going to open up the Bible and go to First Samuel 7 and First Samuel 8. Then we're going to look at Hebrews 11, and we're going to teach on faith. Tomorrow night I'm going to talk about the miracles of Jesus, but I think Wednesday night I'm feeling really strong that I'm supposed to talk about Judgment Day and how it's like an exam. But I'm going to do that Wednesday night. I feel like that's when God wants me to do it. So, parents of young people, college students, please listen to Wednesday night show, because I'm going to explain some things about it and how that, some things about it. And so, be ready for that. Now, for tonight, however, I'm going to talk about building up your faith for the last days. Okay. After we do that, we're going to get into sports. We have Michigan basketball to talk about, Michigan State basketball to talk about, Piston basketball to talk about, and this crazy kid in Kentucky. I told you about this, Cassidy, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
The kid in Kentucky who tried to prove that Tom Brady cheated.
Huh, I didn't hear about that.
I found out about it Friday. I thought I told you about that the other day. I told Joe. I thought I had told you.
Don't
recall. Oh. Well, I'm not going to take time right this minute. I'm going to do that later.
Yeah.
because it's part of sports.
I think it's almost worship time.
So, now, folks, so that's the plan for tonight. Briefly, however, I am going to tell you briefly how to tell people how to be part of the show, and then we're going to open up the Word of God after we pray. I want to encourage you folks, please tell other people about the show. Tell them how they can be a part of it. We'll believe in God to at the very least double the amount of people who are listening to the show on a regular basis. Once we do that, I'm going to raise the bar again. Because we're believing to reach more and more and more and more and more people. Because we're in the last of the last days. And we care about these people, you people. We care about your souls. And we love you. We care about you. And we want to have fun, too, and talk sports together. So we do a balance, praise God. But you can tell people is go to blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. After you type that in, you'll see a link. The link says Live and Large. Okay. After you click on that link, you'll see a button that says Upfront. No, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. After you hit that button, you'll see a follow button. I want you to smash that follow button, because once that happens, you're going to start getting notifications as we get ready to do our shows. Example, tomorrow night will be our next show. And then Wednesday night as well, we'll do another show. And then next week, then the week after that. And you get the picture. Monday night through Wednesday night of each week, we do these shows, generally running from about 6:30 to 8 p.m. We want you to know that it is always a smart thing, always a smart idea to listen to this program on your smartphone. Amen. And we totally believe that. And our goal is to change the world through faith and radio. Radio is the medium we're using. We're trying to get to you about faith as well as salvation. Because we want to see you make heaven. I want to see you make heaven really bad. And I feel like God's dealing with me about this, some of this stuff, about talking about salvation a little more. So I'm going to deal with salvation a little more, because I feel like it's what God wants. And I obey God. So, folks, we have a phone number you can call and be a part of the show. We can talk about generally anything you want to talk about. You want to talk about faith? You want to talk about sports? Basically anything you want to talk about. You want prayer for whatever you want prayer for? Someone to get saved, healing, deliverance, whatever it is, I'll gladly pray with you. I'll gladly pray with you. And the phone number is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then press 1 when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show. Please press 1. After that, you will hear you'll go through a call screener, and then I'll answer and I'll say, welcome to the Miracle Man Show. What say you this evening? And hopefully we'll get some great calls tonight. Okay? One quick reminder, and then we're going to pray. And that is this. Tomorrow from 4 to 5 p.m. is Bacon Hour at a McDonald's near you. Anything you order, be it a burger, or a McDouble burger, for example, even a Sunday, you'll be able to put bacon on it for free. It's a celebration of McDonald's launching cheesy bacon fries, as well as bacon Big Mac and bacon quarter pounder with cheese. So it's a pretty cool thing, and I'm really excited about it. Now, we're going to pray. So please be reverent. If you can, bow your head if you're able. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on our life. Thank you that you're always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always there to rescue us in the time of need. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless these listeners near and far. Near and far. I thank you that these people come tonight to hear from you, to study the Word of God with me, and to hear what God says, to learn of you, to learn of your ways. I thank you that these people have ears to hear and a heart to understand what you are saying to them. I thank you, Lord God, that you use me tonight. You just use me as an oracle, as I am ready to give the amazing, life-changing Word of God. And I give you permission, Lord God, to interrupt me any way you want. And I just thank you, Lord, that this word would go forth with boldness and simplicity. I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name. And Lord, I confess over the show right now, finances are coming through, coming to this program. Increases in listenership are coming to this program. We're believing to double the amount of people listening to this program. At the very minimum, double. We're believing you, God, for sponsors and partners, whoever they are, people who love sports, people who love you. Whoever they are, for them to come on board and support. And Lord, most of all, we're believing for salvations, people to get saved on this program and get off the road of hellfire and destruction and get onto the road of going to heaven. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that in Jesus' matchless name.
Thank you.
Amen. And amen and amen. And amen. Let's go. Let's open up our Bibles, if you will, please, to the book of Samuel chapter 7. Praise God. First Samuel chapter 7. We're going to continue going through the journey of Samuel. And that sound, my folks, friends, that is a reminder to get your cup refilled. It means it's time for a Coca-Cola. Nonetheless, regardless of that little thing, more important than the Coke is whoever you are, please just be a part, participate. Five thing you sing. As I'm opening up my Bible, getting ready to read after I say this, you go ahead and study with me. I pray, you pray. In general, whatever I do here at McDonald's, you do wherever you are. Amen. 1 Samuel 7. I'm going to begin. You are free to just join in with me. Or if you're not there yet, just keep turning and follow along when you get there. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill country, the consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. Verse 2. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods, of the Ashtaroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. That's good. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water, and they poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Philistines heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may reduce us from, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He knew that it Bethanizer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. The towns from Ekron to Gath, where the Philistines had captured from Israel, were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all their places. But he always went back to Ramah. where his home was. And there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar to the Lord. We're going to go to chapter 8 now as well. Verse 1. When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as judges for Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain. And they accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the others of the Israelites gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king, as they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, as they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly, and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will do. He will take your sons and will make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariot. There he will assign them to be commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and others to plow his ground and wrap his offering, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariot. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and your olive groves, and will give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and will give it to his officials and attendants, your maidservants, your men servants and maidservants, and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks and for yourselves and will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen, and the Lord will not answer you in that day." But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, We want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and to go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all that the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Everyone go back to his town." Let's just look at the time. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11. He brews coffee. If there was a book called He Drinks, then I would say He Drinks Coca-Cola. There's not a He Drinks, but there is a Hebrews. We actually had a preacher who said that years ago at my church. And he said from the pulpit, you know, to be funny, he said, "He brews coffee." Yeah, it's pretty funny. It really is. All right. Joking aside, let's look at Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, the evidence of what we do not see. You see, those of us who serve God, we're evidence. We're evidence. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of just what was visible. You know, trees, plants, what have you. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes, but with faith, it is possible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him? That means be serious about God. Be serious. Wanting to learn of his ways. Be serious about God. And don't just do it once in a while. Do it all the time. Do it all the time. Have this heart. Jesus, I'm desperate for you. Jesus, I want to know more about you. I know I keep stopping to preach, but I'm going to keep reading. By faith, Noah. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance, as they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things, they show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country that they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of the staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born. Because they saw that he was no ordinary child, they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he kept Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, she was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flame, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured they refuse to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. Some were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. First two verses of chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. All right, now. Now. Samuel. No. He was judge over Israel, you know, starting in chapter 7. You know, they had the Ark of God with them. And it had stayed in Kiriath-Jearim for 20 years. And all those people, all those Israelites that had used to serve all these Baals and these Ashtaroths and these other fake gods, false gods, they all repented of their wicked ways. And they got back to serving God. Which was awesome. And they were delivered out of the hand of the Philistines into the hand of God. But chapter 8, when Samuel became old, Samuel's sons did not exactly follow in the ways of their dad. I'm following in the ways of my dad, the man who I call my dad now. I'm totally following in his ways. Samuel's kids, unfortunately, didn't do that. Guess what? Israelites got back to their wicked ways, and the Israelites started whining and asking for a king, and it got pretty ugly. This is in the Old Testament, but guess what? What God calls wicked, it's wicked. It's sin. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. One of the Ten Commandments. Another way we could say this, no idolatry. Don't have idols. An idol, an idolater, is something, someone who puts something in front of God beyond what they had in God. And parents could do this with little kids. I mean, with newborns. All of a sudden they love their little newborn more than they do Jesus. That's not good. Jesus should always be your first love. And it's related to faith. If you have faith in God, if you have true faith in God, and you don't doubt Him, if you could get past this doubt and unbelief thing, it'd be much more easy for you to. You believe, truly believed everything, and that God will do whatever He said He would do in His Word. You truly believed it. It'd be much more easier for you to please God, live for God, and keep God in front of the, in front of these other desires. You know? And someone, what are you asking? What is faith? Faith is, for one thing, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we have not seen yet. Okay, that's what it is. What's the meaning of faith? The meaning of faith is trusting in God and believing that He will do what He said in His Word that He would do for you. And faith isn't just about miracles. Not just about breakthrough, be it in your body, be it in your finances, be it in your work life, your educational life, other desires you may have, you know, in your life. No. It takes faith to live today. You kidding me? It's the last of the last days, folks. It's more wicked all the time. God predicted that the amount of evil and wickedness would increase at the last day, in the last days. We're seeing it. The good news is, God said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon them. I will pour out my spirit. That means we're going to see the greatest revival, the greatest outpouring of God that we have ever seen, that has ever happened on this planet. This revival is going to shake nations. The miracles Jesus is about to do, there's a catch. And when I say it's a catch, I don't mean in a negative way at all. The word caveat, that's never that's not always negative, right? Caveat? So there's a caveat to this. The caveat is it start. We can't just ask for revival. That may not be bad, but what has to happen is we have to get to that place where we're earnestly seeking God all the time. And we're wanting more of You, Jesus. And we're wanting more of Jesus. And we're truly saying and truly meaning, Jesus, we are hungry. We are hungry for more of You. We are thirsty, Jesus. We are thirsty for more of You. We want You to move in our hearts, in our lives, Jesus. When we get to where we're truly seeking after God, when we're truly putting aside distraction and choosing that God is first, when God's people start to do that, that's when revival's going to hit. It's not just going to be a preacher coming in and say, "We're going to have a revival service." It's not going to, and then all of a sudden, you know, no, you know, about 11 years ago in this nation, there was in Pensacola, Florida, a so-called revival down in Pensacola. Problem is, the man behind all that ended up getting in trouble with God. And a lot of the stuff couldn't even be documented. Mom and Dad, if I'm wrong on any of this, please correct me and let me know. But that's my understanding of it. True revival comes when God's people are seeking Him. When God's people are seeking Him with everything within them. That's when you have revival. That's when you have increases in healings, deliverances. The power level of God just increases, and it becomes more of a factor. Not just at church, in our lives. Revival happens within us. It's not just at church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Thursday night. Or Sunday night, Wednesday night, or whatever your church service schedule is where you go to church. Because every church is different, you know. Matter of fact, I went through that school closing list much earlier today. I was seeing something about a couple of certain churches that said church service canceled. It made me wonder, who has Monday night church services unless it's a conference? I guess some certain denominations or something must have a Monday night church service. Is that what you're thinking it might have been, maybe?
Possibly.
But my point isn't what night do you go to church at all. My point is that revival isn't just something you'll see within the four walls of the church. You will see, as when revival hits, as we get closer to, and closer and closer to God and desire it and everything. The house of God will be a huge part of it, but it won't by any means be the only place. Right. Living, but you got to trust God to live today. You got to have faith in God. And that He'll help you. Because if not, you'll get so you can get so distracted so easy from work, from everything else, or at school, or whatever else. And that's why it's so important that we make sure that we're putting God first and not just always giving into the distractions of life. Let me just check the clock. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. For Samuel, everything he did. Also thank you for Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. I thank you, Lord God, for this word. Thank you for this exhortation. We're going to put you first, Jesus. We're going to work on ourselves. We're going to work on ourselves, and we're going to seek your faith earnestly, diligently, so we can have more of you in our lives. As we know, we're in the last days, God. And I thank you that you are always with us. Everything we do, everywhere we go. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now that everyone we know is warm as we go into this, possibly the coldest weather since 1994. I thank you that these people will have everything they need to be able to get through this, even if it's, I thank you, Lord God, that in the name of Jesus, our furnaces are going to work. Our pipes aren't going to freeze. I thank you that we're just going to make it through this in the name, in the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, got bad news. I mean, I got good news, but I got bad news. Let's talk about the rough first in terms of sports. Bad news is that 13-game Michigan State Spartan winning streak is over. Michigan fell to Purdue last night, 73-63. Purdue never trailed in this game, never. In fact, at one point they were up by as many as 30. Michigan State made it interesting by going on a very big run and got within 4 points of it, 4 points of Purdue. Nonetheless, they were not able to win, however, as they fell 73-63 to the Purdue Boilermakers. So, look for Michigan State to fall a little bit in the rankings next time the rankings come out. Let's talk about Michigan. Michigan, tomorrow, they're getting ready to take on that team down to the south. We're not going to mention who they are. No, I'm not going to say Buck anything. It's, you know, I'm not saying, folks, whether or not this is Michigan's rival or not, but just going to say they're from that place, you know, to the south. And, number six ranked Michigan has to play them tomorrow. It's in, luckily for them, it is Michigan. It is in Ann Arbor. And but Michigan earlier in December, they had been trouncing everybody. They trounced Villanova. They beat North Carolina by a lot of points. Now, they just barely got past Minnesota on Tuesday night. Barely got past Minnesota. And let Golden golfers. Yeah, barely. So that other team, though, they've been at first they really struggled. Now they're getting a little bit better. It's a big game for both teams. It's pretty important for both of them. John Beilein thinks he's got his team in a good place. What do I think? What do I see? When I look at this, what's my prediction? Michigan, 69, low, high, and low, 64. In regulation. I think that other team will play us kind of close, especially towards the end, but not quite like Minnesota did. So, this is tomorrow night from Ann Arbor. You'll be able to hear it on 790 AM. Red Wings are off until Thursday. Pistons, another day, another loss. That's what happened there. Tigers preseason starts in just about a month. I hope that we can get a really good either a really good pitching guy and then maybe a couple of good batters. I really want to see us start getting better. I really do. I want to see Detroit teams making the playoffs I'd like to see multiple Detroit teams being good because that's going to further help Detroit's comeback as far as downtown. But as far as the city goes, the rest of the city of Detroit, there's issues they need to work on, and hopefully they're working on these issues so that the city of Detroit can one day start to grow again as a city. Because to me, the way I see it, Detroit really is an iconic city. It is by no mistake that even as a city, not just as a metropolitan area, but as a city, that it's one of my favorite cities of the Midwest. Just like Chicago and a couple of places in, I'm not going to say the name because Michigan's got to play someone down there tomorrow night. Otherwise, another one I might say, hopefully we can get a Detroit team being good again and making the playoffs because it's been too long since we've had a Detroit team make the playoffs. It's been far too long for my liking. Far too long. 2018, no one made the playoffs. 2017, no one in Detroit made the playoffs. It's time for that to change. Even those years that Detroit was flying down the tube, even then, back in the 90s or whatever, there was always a Detroit team making the playoffs. Remember? But now, the last couple of years, Detroit teams have almost been in the tube. And the ones who haven't been in it have been close to being in it. So, I don't know why everybody's trading away all their good players. It's unfortunate. And I don't know. Personally, I would be so close to trying to get together an alliance and try to realize, you know, what they're trying to do, you know. Because when you get the teams not doing so good, it takes away some of the energy in a way, and it can result in less tickets being sold. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Because, and so, some things need to change as far as getting some better players in there. And some of the ones who are leaving, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh, I want to get out of Detroit. It's like, no, they're being traded away. And so my hope is that they can start getting some better players. Lions, Tigers. In most cities that have all four teams, I've never heard of a city that has a franchise for each of the four teams and them all prospering all at once. That doesn't necessarily happen, does it? Not necessarily, you know? And every year, I think it's common for one of them to struggle a bit, but I'd like to see them get more on a winning track. So that's what I'd like to see. Now, Super Bowl, ATL. Right. There was a story. This 10-year-old boy in Lexington, Kentucky, he used a science experiment down there in Lexington, Fayette County, Kentucky. And he used an experiment with the goal of trying to prove that Tom Brady cheated with the deflated footballs. You know, that he used deflated footballs. Which he did use deflated footballs. He was trying to prove somehow that Tom Brady actually deflated the footballs. How can you prove that? How can you prove that? I don't know how you can prove whether or not Tom Brady actually deflated the footballs. Were they deflated? Yes. I don't know that the kid should get to keep the trophy. Because I don't know how you can prove it. Because, you know, in a science experiment, you'll be asked to prove where you got the information, right? You'd be asked to show you, in other words, show your work. You can't show your work and prove that it was Tom Brady's hands that unzipped the football and took some air out of it, zipped it back up, or maybe used one of them for practice or something or whatever, and used it during the ball game. You can't prove that it was him who did it. What other proof is there? And he is moving on to, I believe, regionals now. By the way, this kid has picked the Chiefs to put a number on the Patriots, 30-14. However, is this going to affect my pick at all for Sunday night? No. It is just a crazy headline that I figured, you know, why not? It's Super Week down there in Atlanta. I found out about the story this past Friday, and I'll continue to keep you posted on what's going on with the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And Wednesday night, we'll have a coin toss. Unless I can think of something else that might have two different colors based on maybe the Patriots color or the Rams color. Just the two are color different, and if it lands a certain way, that means this one gets picked. If it lands the other way, that gets picked. Because, you know, something fun for Super Bowl, as it is in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was so cool. I was so glad that I got to get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium at all. That even though it was only to the little part of the entryway and the gift shop, it was still cool to get to be in the stadium where the Super Bowl will be played. Because my first time in Ford Field wasn't until 5 months after the Super Bowl was played. I think there's more meaning to it if it's a couple months before rather than after, don't you think? Maybe not. It's still pretty cool, awesome either way, I think. And that's two different NFL stadiums that I've been in within a 5 month window of the Super Bowl. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? That's pretty incredible, Cassidy, isn't it?
I've
been in two different NFL stadiums within 5 months of them hosting a Super Bowl.
Wow.
The first one was Detroit about 4.5 months after, and then now Atlanta about 3.5 months before. So that was pretty cool. That's two of the three NFL stadiums I've even been to were that close to Super Bowl. And so that's pretty awesome, to say the least. And then I was also in Detroit Stadium, Tiger Stadium, about 3 months before the I was in there 3 months before the World Series took place back in 2012. And 4 months before the World Series took place there, part of it took place there in 2006. And in 2004, I was in the Palace about 3 months before the national NBA Finals took place. So five different times I've been in a stadium within months of one of the big champions. That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, now we just need to get there during the circle.
Yeah, I know, right? But that's pretty impressive, though, so I'm pretty lucky. So, believe it or not, folks, until tomorrow night, stay warm. Stay safe. And most of all, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Not on the table.